Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, the clergy of the Community Catholic Church of Canada gather to worship together, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition. And now, let's prepare our hearts for worship and create sacred space to be blessed by God. Good morning and welcome to our service of worship on this seventh Sunday after Epiphany. Today's homilist is Archdeacon Liz Labazou. And now let us prepare our hearts for worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God,
to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. We ask for your forgiveness and your unlimited mercy to embrace us and restore us with your grace. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by the Holy Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. Collect for the seventh Sunday after Epiphany. Almighty God, your Son revealed in signs and miracles the wonder of your saving love. Renew your people with your heavenly grace, and in all our weakness sustain us by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 45, beginning at the third verse. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him. So dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me," and then "Come closer." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years. There are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it is not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty.' And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm appointed for those between elections is Psalm 37. Verses 1 to 11 and 39 to 40. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light, and justice of your cause like the noonday. Still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off, and but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look diligently for their place, they will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in the abundant prosperity. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their refuge in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and rescues them. He rescues them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. God, our strength, give us humility to trust in your loving care and the patience to be faithful in seeking your kingdom, that we may come to share in the inheritance of your saints. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
A reading from the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, beginning with the 35th verse. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? Fool, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And as for what you sow, you do not sow the body that is to be, but a bare seed, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain, but God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a physical body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the physical, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so are those who are the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so is those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we will also bear the image of the man of heaven. What I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel, Luke 6, 27 to 38. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. This is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Holy Lord, take my words and speak to each of us according to our needs. Amen. This is the seventh Sunday after Epiphany. This sermon is a continuation from last week's sermon, the Sermon on the Plain. We learned that this time of his ministry, Jesus has chosen 12 apostles on the instructions of his Father. Jesus now begins to prepare them to work in the ministry with him, giving them power and authority to heal the sick and cast out demons. He was giving them a pep talk. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on the account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, for surely your reward is great in heaven. Jesus knew that his disciples' lives would not be easy, as they would be rejected. So Jesus follows with these words with a message about loving their enemies. Their response to persecution was to be different than society's norm. At the time, and even now, retribution was the common response when someone hurt you, abused you, or did anything to you that was unjust. It was an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth mentality that prevailed in the lives of people and still prevails in some. I think some of us still may think like that at times, but we truly have to step back and ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? Now, this leads us into today's sermon from Luke. And it has been said that the next Bible verse for the day, without a question, is one of the hardest of many of us for us to abide by. The next verse is coming directly from Jesus, and he is telling us that we need to love our enemies, bless those who will curse us, and do things to those who will hate us. We all know that every single one of us will cross paths with some people who will end up not liking us, and in some cases, even hate us. And that could come our way, even if we have done nothing wrong to them to warrant receiving that kind of hate. As long as we have to journey through this fallen and cursed world, we will have to learn how to handle these types of people when they do come our way. And Jesus gives us very good advice in the next verse on exactly how he wants to handle our enemies. Love your enemies. Sounds simple. Everything else that follows is a way to love your enemies. Do good. Bless, not curse. Pray for those who mistreat you. Turn the other cheek. Give those who ask. The golden rule is found in Luke 6:31, which makes a wonderful bottom line to love your enemies. Sometimes people just want to know the rules for living. There are times when children and young people test the limits of what they can get away with. They want to know the rules of their parents, the limits. You get a new job, you need to know what is that is expected of you, the boundaries. I know personally that sometimes when you start a new job, you just get thrown into your position with new responsibilities and no training. We as humans need to know. Jesus' followers have gathered around him, and these are the rules. Make a commitment to me, he says. If you are going to play on my team, then you must love your enemies. And this is how you do it. Loving your enemies, though, does not come naturally for some. Sometimes it's really hard. Now, in today's scripture, Jesus instructs his followers in how to deal with difficult people in their lives. It would be sometimes easier to withdraw and not have to deal with people, but Jesus kind of wants to get our hands dirty and involved. It will be messy, or maybe at times tension, disagreements. People will take advantage of you. But Jesus says, when life gets messy and people disrespect you, love them. And here's how. You might object and say that there are people who really don't deserve respect. What they have done is so far off the chart that Jesus doesn't really get it. Really? You don't think he meant love your enemies only when it's easy? Do you? Jesus is speaking to the hardest situations when you are called to turn the other cheek. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Christianity is simpler than we imagine and more practical than we often realize. Another way to understand today's scripture, Jesus speaks to one of the most frustrating situations we can face. We hurt, we forgive, and nothing changes. Everything stays the same. Forgiveness, we are told, is supposed to lead to a renewed relationship. But too often, I am hurt. I forgive you, and your behavior doesn't change. As committed followers of Christ, and as you engage with people, you will be hurt, targeted, neglected, overlooked. We are to forgive those people who hurt you, who neglect you, or who take advantage of you, causing stress and hell in your life. You are asked not to seek revenge. Do not wish bad karma on them. Don't secretly desire that they get what's coming. Don't retaliate and escalate the fight. Forgive them. If they chose not to, change their attitude or behavior towards you. Love them anyways. Love your enemies. So now, who is your enemy anyways? Think about it. Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Do good to those who hate you. These are people who are close enough to slap you. I think Jesus is thinking primarily of difficult people in your life. This is not about a stranger robbing you, so you turn around and you give him more. You turn the other cheek to a person in your life, in your space, that is near to you. Maybe it's your friend, your children, your spouse, or could be somebody in your church family. If I were to read a letter from an editor blasting Christianity, I may not like it, but it doesn't affect me personally. But if a close friend becomes critical, that hurts. If I am constantly critical of my children, and I am, then I will be my children's enemy. Do to others as you would have them do to you is an excellent rule for living out in the world. But when you apply the saying to a friend that has stabbed you, and every ounce of you wants to get even, then the saying can make you mad. Jesus wants his followers, us, to give the difficult people in your life better than they deserve. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. If somebody is a mass murderer, obviously they need to be removed from society. The consequences of bad behavior are still real. Now, Jesus is talking about people that are close to you. Bless those who curse you. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Not easy to do, though, when the person deserves justice. Pray for those who mistreat you. You don't need a silly preacher like me to interpret that. Jesus is simple and practical. Turning the other cheek means introducing the grace of God into a situation where others expect only retaliation and revenge. Turning the other cheek is about giving up retaliation and revenge altogether. We still need justice on this earth. We still need to protect yourselves and be safe. Now, this is about grace given to the people in your life that are difficult. What if someone tells you about somebody who betrays another person and are told about the plans to get even? I cannot argue with them because to them that is justice. An eye for an eye is how the Old Testament puts it. Jesus says to give them better than they deserve, especially when it's hard. Love your enemies. Do to others as you would have them do to you. That's a great principle for all life. But in context, it's especially a guideline in how to treat people that mistreat you. When there is bad blood, when somebody has hurt you, lied about you, or have taken advantage of you. Love your enemy for your enemy's sake. Love them into the kingdom of God. And love your enemies for your sake. Unforgiveness is like drinking a poison and expecting the other person to die. But by retaliating against those who curse you, what does that really do to your soul? The unrest, the lack of peace, the turmoil. You justify it and say it's the other person's fault. For your own peace, let the offense go. Love, pray, give. Turn the other cheek. Treat them as you would like to be treated. Love your enemies. Refuse to fight. And you will be blessed. Love the difficult people in your life for their sake and for your sake. The rest of the scripture in Luke points out it's easy to be loving and kind to those that you like. To underscore the point, the instruction to love your enemies is repeated in Luke 6:35. And once again, the same phrase is used to follow up. Do good to them. Jesus says it twice for emphasis because it's hard to respond in kindness when you've been shot with an arrow. So practical suggestions on how to love your enemies. Disarm your enemies. That's what you do when you turn the other cheek or you go the second mile. You disarm them by doing the very thing they least expect. Add grace when revenge and punishment is expected. Do good to them. Be proactive. Both times in this passage, when Jesus says, love your enemy, he follows it immediately by saying, do good to them. Doing good to your enemies means seeing beyond your pain and their meanness to their humanity. It means seeing them as a person made in the image of God and understanding. When somebody hurts you, the truth is that even though the wound is real, it says more about them than you. There is something twisted inside of them that causes them to do what they do. Doing good means you do what will promote their healing despite the way they have treated you. You make the first move. You send the email. You pick up the phone. You make the contact. You bridge the gap. You set up the appointment. I personally have done this myself. You make the first move. It's like offering an olive branch. If they take it, fine. If not, then that's their issue. My children have asked me over and over many times, Mom, how do you make the first move? Especially when they know how many times I have been hurt, sometimes by my siblings. But you do what you do. You try. No one can say at least I didn't. But I also know that the relationships once had before will never be the same. You love them, you wish the best for them, and you go on with your own life. Don't speak no evil. I'll say it in a positive form. Believe in your enemy. Imagine them as a transformed person. That's what Jesus meant when he said, bless those who curse you. Refuse to think evil thoughts. Refuse to speak evil words against them who have wronged you. Proverbs has a great deal to say about the power of words. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who live it will eat its fruit. Every time we open our mouth, life or death does come out. Here's an amazing thought I read that was worth considering. Forgiveness in many cases is not possible because we will not stop talking. As long as we keep talking over and over again about how others have hurt us, we will never find the strength to forgive. At some point, we have to stop talking and start forgiving. So pray for them. A while ago, I had come across an article where a German pastor was arrested by the Nazis in World War II. He prayed daily for his prison cell for his captors. Other prisoners asked him why he prayed for those who were his enemies. And his response was, do you know anyone who needs more prayer than your enemies? He replied, but what if you hate the person you are praying for? Tell that to the Lord. He won't be surprised. Then say something like, Lord, I hate this person, but you already know that. I ask you to love this person through me because I can't do it in my own power. I ask you for a love that I don't have and can't begin to produce. God will not turn you away when you come with an honest heart, admitting you need his love to flow through you. Ask God to bless your enemies. Here's a simple way to do that. When faced with someone who has mistreated you, ask God to do for them what you want God to do for you. Seek the blessing for them that you want God to do for you. Jesus' words are so simple. He is like the coach instructing his players on how to respond to the people that will hurt them. You will be wounded. That is a given. Jesus does not say, here is a strategy to avoiding being hurt. He assumes that as you go into the world, and you get to know people, you will be hurt. Jesus' words are so simple. They speak best for themselves with no complicated interpretation. I'd like to end with the words of Jesus one more time as he says it. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For peace from on high and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the welfare of the Holy Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our bishops and all the clergy and people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the leaders of every nation and for all in authority, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For each and every city and community and for those who live in them in faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For good weather and for abundant harvest for all to share, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who travel by land, water, or air, for the sick and the suffering, especially remembering Kathy, Sam, Shane, Jean, Liz, Bernadette, Anne, Pat, Jessica, Brianna, Philip, Doug, Dee, George. For prisoners and captives, and for their safety, health, and salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our deliverance from all affliction, strife, and need, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have died, especially remembering Harold, and for all who grieve, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Remembering all the saints, we commit ourselves, one another, and our whole life to Christ our God.
To you, O Lord.
Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplications to you. And you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together, you will hear their requests. Fulfill now our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth and in the age to come eternal life. For you, Father, are good and loving, and we glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has commanded and taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Linked by spirit, voice, and intention, we are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted, songs of praise are being offered, bread and wine is being blessed to nurture God's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God, and we give thanks that we too are spiritually fed in this time of worship. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you. We love you above all things, and we give thanks that you transform our hearts with your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to you in this time of worship and every moment of our day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by your love, gifted by your grace, upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world. Amen.
May we be the hands of Christ assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see all as our brother and sister, and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and everyone whom you love this day and evermore. Amen.
Go forth in the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God. Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. Join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.